to this computer. Okay.
So let's see, what feels good today? What did I do today? So everybody, if you want to put your feet on the ground, you don't have to. If you're walking around, you can just kind of do this wherever you are. But if you are sitting, put your feet on the ground. I even take my shoes off just because it feels good to have my feet on the ground. So just to let your shoulders, take your shoulders back. Maybe because a lot of times we're slouching and we don't even know it. It can be because of the way we're feeling or the thoughts that are going through our head. So just take your shoulders up and back. And that makes you kind of tilt your head up a little bit. And just by doing that, you breathe differently. So I teach this to young girls all the time, because when young girls start to develop, they start to do this. So it's like, you got to keep pulling your shoulders back so you can breathe. And then just, they're going to think I'm funny. You ready? We're close to each other. We're going to inhale up like we're doing yoga. So if you can't do it, that's fine. Just inhale with me. But it sometimes helps to make your arms go up. So you inhale up. And then, and stretch, 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 stretch. And then exhale down. Whew. And I like to do that over, and they're like half or one fourth of a sun salutation. And I just do that over and over and over again. And not like right now, but when I'm actually doing yoga, I just do this over. And sometimes I just like pull my chest back and then my sternum cracks, which feels good. So just part of the centering is mental, but don't forget the physical aspects of our mental well-being, that if you can actually get in a better pose and get your feet on the ground, that actually shifts. If there's this back and forth going, mental to body and then body to mental. So
it's a loop.
It's a loop.
It's a loop. You got to check in with your mind and check in with your body.
Yep.
So it's Tuesday, September 8th. We don't have a lot of people on, comparatively speaking.
And school start.
I think that's because we're in a different mode right now.
Mm-hmm. All our kids are on the Zoom, are on Zoom already.
Yes. So I want to welcome everybody. This is Zen Talk number 101. Looks like we have Judy on, and Peggy, and Donelda, and Kim, and Holly, and Marianne, and Karen, and Kelsey, and Millie, and Joe, and Darren. I don't think anybody is brand new. Is anybody brand new? Raise your hand. Okay. Karen and Marianne. I'm going to unmute and just ask Marianne.
I know Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Yeah,
good to see you.
Hi, Marianne. Just...
I'm new to Team Zen, but I'm not new to YouTube.
So. That's right. Marianne actually used to live in Elmhurst, and she moved away from us. So it's nice to have you back in this kind of virtual way.
So Marianne, anything, just maybe give yourself 30 seconds just to introduce yourself to the team.
Sure. Yeah. So as Kathy said, I moved to Atlanta almost exactly a year ago, moved the end of August for work, and but lived in Elmhurst for about 6 years. So I've actually been to one of your events before and listened to your podcast, and Kathy and I have seen each other one-on-one. And I am a single parent. I have a 12-year-old who is in seventh grade. We started school earlier, so we started August 17th in a virtual environment. And I actually just enrolled him, and he started today in a pod setting. So we're going to see how that goes. He struggles with a little bit of being able to focus and having organizational skills. And so we're going to see how this works. So, and he's in seventh grade.
Awesome. Marianne, so glad that you joined the team. I'm going to mute you and then unmute the other Karen. There's Karen Tuxbury, but that's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to this first timer, Karen. It looks like she's sitting on the ground, which is
awesome.
Awesome, but not something I'm really good at. Are you good at sitting on the ground?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not. Karen, will you take 30 seconds to introduce yourself?
Hello. Oh, I'm sitting on a chair.
Oh, okay. Are you still there?
It's stuck.
Oh my gosh. Lift the hard wire.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if it's my connection or yours.
I think it's Karen's because everybody else is moving.
Yeah, it's probably me because there's too many people in my house on Zoom right now. But
yes. Do you want to just give us a sentence or two of who you are, where you're from?
Yeah, sure. My name's Karen Thigerson, and I am new to the team, but I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years, and I actually met you guys at 1440.
I thought you looked familiar. I'm like, I know her.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know those.
Yeah, I remember.
Donelda and Millie, I met you guys there too. So yeah. I know a couple people here, but just recently joined the team, and this is the first time I've been able to be here live for one of the calls. So
glad. Yay. Thank you for joining us. So glad to have you. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. And it's funny. So we did this workshop at 1440 in California about...
Year ago?
Was it a year ago? Yeah, it was about a year ago, I guess. But anyways, so we are not doing a conference. I don't think that's a secret, right? Mm-hmm. No conferences here, but we're tentatively planning to do a workshop in Galena in April. Are we going to do that?
I don't know.
We don't know. Maybe. But
we were supposed to be at 1440 in October again.
Yeah.
And they went all virtual, understandably.
Mm-hmm. So just throwing that out there as a possibility that if COVID releases its grip on us a little bit and travel becomes easier, there might be an opportunity for a more intimate weekend workshop with Kathy and I
in Galena,
which is about 2.5 hours west of Chicago. So I'm not committing to it just yet, but you know, just throwing that out there. So I'm so glad everybody's here. We're 11 minutes in, so let's get into it. So Kim Gardner is nice enough to come up with the first question. So for you guys who are kind of new, or maybe somebody's listening afterwards who are new, you know, this is just a space for us to kind of support one another and ask questions and provide feedback. So Kim's going to start out. But for Marianne and Karen who are new, you're more than welcome to just physically raise your hand, or you can type in the chat box saying, "Hey, Todd, I have a question," the way Kim just did. So I'm going to unmute Kim, or ask her to unmute herself and have her start us off.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I guess I'm just looking maybe some resources or thoughts. So my 17-year-old, highly anxious, highly all or none, perfectionist, whatever you want to call her, consistently saying, like, life is meaningless, all the stuff we're learning, I could look on my phone, like, and my husband and I aren't like, you got to stay on the rat race, come up with something. Like, I wish... or I don't, you know, I do wish, but I wish she was like an artist or something that had something that we could get behind. But so far she hasn't found anything that really speaks to her, except for she is the like counselor of her group. So she's thinking psychiatry, something like that, which requires college. Mm. So we're always trying to come up with ways of, you know, take your college fund, buy a house, make money that way. Like, I don't know, like we're trying to think outside of the box of highly structured schooling, or because right now she's in a private school that's highly academic and she's beautiful until school starts. And then it just goes to hell because she puts it on herself and it's either an A or it's nothing. You know, I just don't know what any thoughts or feel like. I've been trying to Google, you know, how do you get to college if, or how to get out of high school soon? Or like, how do we, is there a way, like a fast track out of all this crazy, or backtrack? Or, you know, we're telling her one thing, and I have an AS and almost a bachelor's. My husband has no college. And so we're telling her, you can get to college any which way. Like, you don't have to. So she hears us say that, but she's in an environment where they're looking at these big reach schools and you've got to have straight A's and be this and be that and do this and do that. And we're like, no, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't really believe us because we're not the ones with the expert knowledge. So I don't know. Any thoughts or resources that, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have some qualifying questions. So your daughter's 17, school started and she's anxious. Is she going to school? Is she doing the work or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She's staying home and doing Zoom every day. So she's in her on Zoom with her in school classroom.
Yeah.
There's like five of them that chose not to go back.
Got it. And so the I know you're not framing it this way, Kim, but the problem is she's really anxious through this environment, and that's what you're
just about. Anytime that she's doing school or things are asked of her, school, because it's got to be 100. It's, she's getting better. She got a B and didn't freak out, which last year she would have. So she's talked to Duffy and she's talked to people about it.
So is she a perfectionist about school? Yes. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. All right. I have some ideas, but I want you to go first.
Well, you do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, okay. First person.
I'm fine with going first. I just usually you say you want to go first.
I don't know. It's weird because I don't know if this is going to help at all, Kim, but we have some friends of ours who, and she's a senior. Is your daughter a senior?
Junior.
She's a junior.
Just started. Yeah.
Does she want to be done with school early, or she likes school, but it's just through this perfectionistic, anxious lens?
She doesn't feel like, why are they having to learn all of this stuff that really isn't? And I know that's like, why do we learn the stuff we don't use every day? But literally, like dropping, you know, like physics, like I could Google that shit, she says. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know. And it has nothing to do with what she's interested in. I'm like, so take a C in it, just do the minimum. Well, she can't do that.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I'm starting to get it. And then the only other idea is I have some friends who, two of their kids actually finished high school early. And I don't know if this is attractive to you or your daughter at all, but so JC has a friend who's going to be done December because she took the extra classes or whatever it is. And I think that's different. Like, that's weird to me. Like, why would you want to finish high school early? But some kids dig that. And I don't know if, and that's more like, just like trying to like come up with a solution without really getting to the root of whatever the anxiety is. So I don't really know if that's even good advice, but that's the first thing I thought of. So,
well, and that's the thing, is there's like the logical, pragmatic way to look at it. Like, how do we get her out of this system and out of this kind of like, it's its own educational rat race. And then there's the shifting how we view school. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about saying to a kid, oh, you know, even though we all do this, you know, oh, you don't have to get an A, because when they are in that environment, they don't feel worthy or that they belong unless they're mm-hmm. achieving. Like, I would say if JC was here, I don't know if you guys listened to today's podcast, but we had the girls on the podcast, and, you know, JC, you know, talks about how she's kind of gone through school such a different way. And right now, a lot of her friends are so stressed out and overwhelmed and applying to school. She's a senior, and JC's kind of like, when I say fine, I don't mean everything's perfect. I just mean she doesn't feel stressed out, and that stresses her out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When you are in an environment where everybody's stressed, you're like, I'm missing something. So it's very easy to say to our kids, but you don't have to do it that way. But then when they're in that environment, it feels that way. So I feel like there's some logical ways to do it or pragmatic ways to do it. But I think the conversation that I would continue to have with her, and I say continue because I know you and Chuck already do this, and I know she's talked to Duffy, and Duffy is, you know, we all kind of have a similar way of thinking, is that, you know, school, like when she asks questions, like, why do I need to learn this? It's beyond just like memorizing facts. Like, school is simply a game of recognizing what's available and like tapping into different parts of our brain and growing different parts of our brain that we didn't know we had to grow. Like, physics is so interesting because, especially if she wants to become a therapist, it's less about just understanding the science of physics. And physics is to where we get into quantum physics, where we start to understand spirituality and we start to understand the essence of who we are, which all therapists, or I believe all therapists, should understand. I think that, you know, there, I remember my first semester in physics, we were like making cars that could run on a non, and I was like, this is so stupid. Like, I basically had my dad do mine for me. But I remember then luckily I had a good teacher, and he started kind of focusing on things that were kind of made me think differently. And so she may not, like, it's not about convincing her, no, this class is important, which I know you're not doing. It's about saying, instead of explaining why it is important or isn't important, which is the binary, there's something in between where, like, yeah, there's going to be days in physics that don't, you're going to be like, why am I learning this? I can look this up. But there's also things happening in your brain that you're unaware of. Like, there are things happening, and it's not about getting the A. That's about trying to sometimes cut corners to get to a specific outcome rather than just the experience. It's, again, Todd and I reiterate this all the time about education and learning. And I think this has become more accepted than it was 10 years ago when we were saying it. It's just a stupid game.
And it's just about playing it. It's not about winning it. It's not about being the best. It's not about being number one. It's not about failing out and deciding not to be in it. It's just you play it. And some days it's like, wah, wah, you know? And some days it's like, wow, that was great. If it be social, emotional, educational, there's no school, our myopic view on school, that we're in there just to learn and take a test and get A's and then get to the next place. I have never believed in that. That's not what school is. I know it is to many people, but it's much bigger than that. It's who'd you talk to today? Did you speak first in class? Was the teacher, because even learning from a bad teacher, I'm putting that in quotes, meaning a teacher that you don't really resonate with, is valuable information too. So it's like expanding her view, and one conversation won't do that. I understand that this isn't a simple, like, I got it, honey. Look at it this way and it'll all be good. But what you're doing is you're kind of cracking open that myopic view, which is, but I have to, why am I learning this? Why am I, it's not just about physics. Like, and then the interesting thing is, and I think we can all relate to this, we get out of high school or we get out of our associates or our bachelor's or whatever it may be. And then we go, we look at each other and we go, why didn't I listen in history? History is really interesting. And all of a sudden we all want to go back to school because we're now like just curious without that pressure of getting the A's, right? Mm-hmm. And what if kids learned that way initially where they're like, what? History is interesting and even saying to her, you're right, you can look that up on your phone. So worry less about the dates and worry more about the expression of education.
I have some other questions, but I just want to hear your two cents, Kim, about any questions or things that resonated with anything that either one of us just said.
Well, that's helpful to look at that because I kind of am agreeing with her. Yeah, I don't really know why, other than I'm sure that it will lead into something else, you know, like I didn't know that quantum physics, you know, because when I learned physics, it was just drop balls at the same time. We didn't really get into spirituality. I guess what I'm saying is if, let's say she wanted to be dual enrolled, but with just doing the basic, without all the extra, like I feel like she'd be missing out on something, but maybe she just wants to get it done and move on to go into college because I was dual enrolled high school, college, because I took, back when they had summer school, I could take summer school because I was an only child and I was bored. So I'd go to summer school and I had all these credits. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't.
So Kim, do you mind sharing your daughter's name or no?
It's Zoe.
Zoe. So does Zoe see this anxiety that comes up in her as a problem? Like, does she get super uncomfortable? I guess by definition you do when you're anxious. Does she get super uncomfortable and does she see this as a significant problem? And then part two of the question is, do you see the anxiousness as a problem? And I guess asked a different way, what happens to you when you observe her being anxious?
I'm very detached. Like I can, to the point sometimes where she says, you don't care, which isn't true, but it doesn't affect me. You know, like I'm there, I listen, but I'm not emotionally tied to her anxiety. My Chuck gets a little more because he feels it too. Like he's like, you know, we're doing all this shit and why are we doing this? And it's ridiculous anyway, you know, you know him, it just goes on and on. So he doesn't want that for them, even though, you know, I don't know, there's gotta be a better way, but until we learn that better way, we're all just playing the game of life that might be meaningless in the end anyway, except for what we live. So, you know, I don't know.
I want to stay on that point because I feel like you're going to go in a different direction. And this is the shift is that instead of why are we doing this shit this way, it's how do we look at the shit different? Mm-hmm. Like that's the change, is because the idea that there, again, it's a very static way to be like, you know, physics is this versus physics is a lot of things, or, you know, school should be focused on this. Even your question about the dual, you know, enrollment is, we sometimes then go to our, I was just talking to some girlfriends this weekend about this. when we think about high school or when we think about college, we think about our experience. We're like, well, but they're not going to get this and I got this. And our experience has nothing to do with theirs, meaning that there is, especially now with this virtual learning, the box is broken open, the bubble's cracked, like our experience no longer aligns with our children's experience, which I think is a freedom. Because what dual enrollment would be to her, like when you're like, she'd miss out on experiences, but then what experiences would she gain? I'm not saying it's the right path. I'm saying trying to keep her on a specific path because of your experiences with it, good or bad, isn't that, that could like bind you up. It's not that it isn't helpful information when you're supporting her. It's not that it's all irrelevant. It's just what I see when parents are like, you know, but I did this and I know this will be helpful. Or you're not saying this, Kim, I'm going off you for a second. But when someone's like, my kid has to be in a team sport and they have to be in a club and they have, all that is made up from our experience or what we did or didn't do. And that, and then there's, that binds us up. So our kids don't get an opportunity to try something interesting. Like her dual enrollment program may lead to a work kind of situation or an internship kind of situation or a online learning situation that then opens the next door. We just don't know. So it's not, I don't have an answer for you. It's not like, so do that. It's just more like, it's like freeing you from, will this cause her more problems? Because she will, you know, day by day kind of know that.
So for me, first of all, I want to bless you, Kim. The fact that you have a sense of detachment, which I think is such a wonderful thing, because I think most of us, I think you're serving her by not buying into the drama. And I think that that is exceptional, and not that you're perfect, but it seems like you have a good kind of focus on it. Sounds like Chuck has a little bit more work to do on that, which, you know, I was just talking to one of my daughters yesterday who sometimes has school anxiety. And the first thing I want to make sure that my daughter knows is that, that it's okay to be anxious. Like, we feel like it's this thing that we have to get through, but if we just kind of like, maybe allow for it, like, okay, you're anxious right now, and that it's not a problem. Kathy read a book last year. It's called The Wisdom of Anxiety. Mm-hmm,
really,
like,
good.
Anxiety can actually, through a lens, can be viewed as a gift. Like, it keeps you sharp and it motivates you and all that.
It helps you know where to look.
And then this isn't for you, Kim, or maybe you can share it with Zoe. But the other tool that I think Kathy taught me that I reminded my daughter of yesterday was when she's in the moment of anxiety. So this is kind of like, you know, a solution to the problem of anxiety, is we do the 5-4-3-2-1 thing, which is take a breath and then give me 5 things that you see in this room. And she'll report back to me, oh, I see the picture, I see this cup, I see this microphone. So she'll do that. And then give me 4 things that you can hear. And she'll have to like kind of get quiet and check in. No, she can hear the hum of the AC. She can hear the airplane outside. She can hear my voice. She can hear her own breathing. Give me 3 things that you feel. So like, okay, I feel my feet on the floor, and then I feel my shirt on my chest. And then give me 2 things that you smell, which is sometimes hard to do. So it's like, you're just getting out of this anxious mindset. And then the one thing is, give me 1 thing you taste. Well, I just had a pistachio and I taste it. So that is a vehicle for presence. And I don't know how much value it is, but sometimes when I get all jacked up, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a breath. And then I'm going to do that 5-4-3-2-1 thing. And that's more like just trying to get somebody who's in the midst of anxiousness to just like get grounded. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Any of that that's resonate good. With you?
Yeah. I mean, it's helpful. I just, you know, everyone always wants to talk about being in the box. And I just wanted to see, like, what are your thoughts about different ways to be a college graduate without the stress?
Well, and that's the thing, is it's the unknown, meaning, and I mean that in a good way, like there's a million different ways to be a college graduate, like literally a million different paths, mm-hmm. because every experience is different for each kid. And sometimes the well-meaning adults, parents, advisors, you know, counselors, give us the most traditional path and say, you have to do this, but there's, you know, numerous ways. And that's it's less about giving her the way or creating the way or saying, you better know the way, which you're not saying, and saying instead, there are a million different ways, because that opens up her imagination in like, oh, and I'm using the word imagination on purpose. I'm actually just writing about imagination right now, and I'm way back into it, because I love that word, of we really believe that we have to follow this guideline, this specific guideline. And while we do need some structure, like having a school, you know, going to class, whatever, within that structure, there's so much room. Like I have said to my girls, because they're like, oh my God, staring at the screen. And sometimes they're just talking and other people are talking. I'm like, then daydream. Like loosen the grip on the, I have to be like this. And, you know, and they're like, but what if someone calls on me? Then say, can you repeat the question? Like there's so much room to breathe in this. We're so worried about things like, what will people think? What will my peers think? What will the next moment bring? I have to be uber responsible. And our focus on being chronically responsible detaches us from things like daydreaming and imagination and what could be. Like there has to be room for both. And letting her know, like even just saying to her, we don't know what the solution is. You may end up doing an out of the box college kind of admission process or graduating early. Like all of this is on the table, but you don't have to know right now. Because we also have to trust in like things are going to kind of lead us in a direction. Imagination is being able to say, because lack of imagination is that bound structure, you know, show up for school, do this, do what the teacher says. Like even my hands, it's like, it's so tight versus like, who knows? And it might take some pressure off, or at least it will for you, Kim. She's still in that, like, you know, she'll tell her something and then she goes to school and all of her friends are like, it's different, right? She's like having but your voice is still getting in there. Like it still gives her, it takes some air out of the balloon. It's not a waste of time.
Yeah, you're competing with peers who she probably holds in as high of a, you know,
yeah,
our peers
her.
Are more important than our parents at that age, typically speaking. So before I move on to Marianne, Kim, I just want to give you the last word or any questions or anything.
I mean, that was great. It gives me a lot of things to think about. And, we're always talking, like she going to Spain. She should have been in Spain this summer for 6 weeks, but you know, things happen because doing something in Spanish is very important to her. So we're just keeping all options open, but thank you. That was very helpful.
Well, and I have Chuck call me if he wants to. So,
okay.
All right. We're going to move over to Mary Ann. I'm going to ask her to unmute. All right, Mary Ann, what's going on?
Hello. So I have kind of the opposite situation with my son. And maybe he is feeling anxiety and this is about school. And maybe this is the way he manifests it. But he just doesn't show up and do the work, right? And this has been going on in sixth grade when they were in school. And it's probably even worse now that we're virtual. And I was listening to one of your recorded Zen parenting sessions from a couple sessions ago, Kathy, and I think somebody on the call brought up about her son being unmotivated. And you gave her some advice about just go right in. Because I usually do what you said, usually kind of tap dance around and, you know, and ask all these different questions. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it, you know. And so I literally wrote down what you said. And I said, you know, I'm noticing blah, blah, blah. And his response was, I don't know. I said, I'm noticing that you're not getting your assignments done in school. And I'm noticing that, you know, you're falling behind and you're not studying. And I said, you know, I want to support you. What is it that I can do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what he said. And I tried to probe a little bit more and then he just got mad. And he's like, Mom, when I say I don't know, I don't know. And
it just sounds like a kid. That's why we're laughing, right?
Which part of I don't know did you not understand?
She didn't give me any other notes after that, so then I was just like, okay. But no, I just went down the path for a little bit of saying, you know, I'm trying to support you, and you know, he's worked with tutors during the summer through the school year, and he does well when he's one-on-one with somebody. But if he's not one-on-one, and he's just he's daydreaming, Kathy. He is daydreaming all day long. We don't have to worry about him daydreaming. He's got that. So I need to reel that back in a little bit. But I don't know. And he doesn't seem to understand, you know, he's gotten bad grades, but it doesn't seem to resonate or it doesn't motivate him. right, does not inspire him to. And he says the same thing. Why do I have to learn these things? Why do I have to learn my math facts? I can just use a calculator. I can just use my phone. Mm-hmm.
So, how old is he?
Seventh.
12. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's seventh grade.
Yeah, he's Skylar's age.
First of all, I just want to like say that I have a feeling that this is a very normal thing for parents to be asking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Millie's on the call. She's not sharing her camera, so I don't know if she's out and about. But part of me wants to be like, we should have some micro community call of just a bunch of parents with kids who treat school with complacency, because mm-hmm. it's pretty normal.
It's, yeah, typical. Yeah, especially yeah. now. And you know, and I love that you went in right for the question and just asked him. And again, like you said, sometimes it's like, okay, the script ended. I'm not quite sure what to say next. And that's okay. Like just we have to remember that every time we do something different, we shifted a dynamic. And so even though it doesn't result in like this perfect ending, something changed where even if he got annoyed, like, wait a second, you're asking me something way too true and honest. You know, it like changed something in him where he came back with like, I don't know. And you know that, and the answer is like to continue that script is it's okay that you don't know. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And you can say to him, the only reason I'm asking that question that directly at you is so you know that if there is anything that you do know, if it be in a class or with a teacher, that I do want to support you. So it's less about seventh grader, lay out for me everything that you need for me to do, because they really don't know. Not only can they not communicate it, but it's like, okay, help me with the fact that school sucks, that I feel overwhelmed, that my teacher's not that nice to me. Like you can't really do anything about that, meaning that you can't change all that for him, but just being able to talk about it, I think without the concern, because this is a big one, Marianne, we've talked about this a lot on, we talk about it a lot on the show too, so you probably heard us say this, but without the underlying need of him getting good grades, which kids can feel, like sometimes when we come at our kids and we're like, how can I help you? Really, they can feel the energy of, please get good A grades, please get A's, versus literally as a whole human being, I'm seeing that school's stressing you out. So what can I do to support you? And he may be like, I don't know. And say, not just school, just overall. Like, and he may still say, I don't know. But you say, but just, that's okay that you don't know. But just know that I want to support you in all the ways. And you can even say, Marianne, say, one thing you're good at is daydreaming. And it's something I don't worry about with you. And I think your daydreaming's awesome. But everything needs balance. And so if the daydreaming is causing you to, you know, completely lose touch with school, then it's not that we get rid of the daydreaming, it's that we find balance. And so it's realizing the things that he is doing and realizing they're not inherently bad. Like that's kind of why I wanted to talk about imagination, because daydreaming and spacing out is where everything begins. That's right. Where imagination takes hold. And that's where they figure out, do I want a dual program? What do I want to study? What do I want to be in? So it's just honing in on that, but realizing there's more. Go ahead.
So I started writing notes down, and Kathy was basically saying exactly what I was writing down. It's a lot about from what energy is the question being asked from. And that's like the heavy lifting that we're talking about. That's why it's hard being a parent. Like, because we all want to have our kids be successful and happy and get good grades and have good friends and all that. And when that doesn't happen, we see it as a problem that needs to be fixed. Like we all do that. Like that's our default, because mm-hmm. we see it as a threat. These are people that we helped create, and we need them to grow up and be healthy so that we can feel calm and confident in our own well-being. So I don't know if you heard our podcast 558 and 559. It was through the lens of, you know, the question that we get quite often, which is a screen technology. Like my kid is on screen too much. And Kathy brought in this teaching from the Buddhists, and it's called the Eightfold Path. And my invitation, if you haven't listened to that, Marianne, did you listen to that one?
I did. Yes, I did. It
was so good. Just, I would say like, you know, maybe think about the podcast that we did, because for me, that's like the heavy lifting. Like whenever I'm, you know, my kid's struggling, I'm like, how do I get my kid to not have this struggle so that I can feel better about it? The really heavy part is being able to kind of look inward at why this is a problem, how it's a problem, what energy are you coming at the problem from? So I have not yet revisited those two podcasts, but for me, I'm so glad we did it, because I feel like it's a resource that when we get stuck and our kid is either overachieving and taking school too seriously, or underachieving and is too complacent, or, you know, bad friendships or drugs, whatever it, that comes, if you can integrate what is taught in those two podcasts that I need to integrate, I'm not saying do what we say, like these are struggles that we have. If you can look at it through that lens of that eightfold path, I think it's really, you're much more likely to come at it from a different place.
Yeah, it's true.
So.
Yeah, I know. I used to have this whole conversation in my mind for about 2 hours, and then I'd go talk to him, and then I'm all worked up, right? And then it's like, he's like, where is this coming from, right? And so I have tried to work really hard at not doing that, and approaching it with the right energy, because it does make a difference.
Well, and just the fact that you're acknowledging you're worked up is better than most of the population. Most of us, the worked upness takes over, and we don't even know we're worked up. So. Yeah. Blessings to you for being able to locate where you are. And I want to read a few things that people put in the chat box. Judy said, did you mention he had some organizational issues? Did you look into executive functioning? Have you heard of it? My son has some lacking skills, and until we started working on them, he really didn't know what he was lacking or what was causing his frustration. And Darren says, teenage boys can be a hot mess during seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah.
My son keeps doing his assignments and then not turning them in via a new online platform. So I agree that executive functioning skills are lacking at this stage. Does any of that resonate with you, Marianne?
It does. So he was tested back in December, and he is definitely lacking in executive functioning skills. That being said, I haven't quite figured out like what to do to improve those. I mean, I try to work with, like, we have the agenda, and I try to keep things structured and on a schedule. But then he gets like, Mom, I got this. But it's like, he doesn't really have it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, any pointers on improving executive functioning skills, or how to work with kids who have that issue? Because I can't remember how they, you probably know Kathy, but he was tested by a psychologist, and he definitely lacks those.
Mm-hmm. So for everybody listening, because, you know, obviously Judy wrote this and Marianne is talking about this, executive functioning is this prefrontal cortex and our ability to organize and rationalize and understand consequences of not doing things or doing things. And so it's just kind of this that, and sometimes when we talk about kids lack executive functioning, it's not that they're necessarily forever going to lack it. It's that sometimes it comes, especially with boys, it comes online later, mm-hmm. you know, just like a kid learns to read later. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if they will always lack executive functioning. It's just something, it's a muscle they need to strengthen maybe earlier. You know, we talked on the show today about how all three of my kids got to kindergarten and they weren't readers yet. And the teachers were like beside themselves. And we're like, it's okay. Like, they will learn. It's the same thing with executive functioning, but because there's so much pressure being put on them to be, because by the time fourth grade comes in, and I think most educators, and my aunt is on here too, she's a principal, she would know, but I think most education starts to focus on personal organization around fourth grade. I don't know if that's still the case, but that Peggy's nodding, so I think so. Like, where they're kind of saying to kids, okay, you manage your own agenda, you turn this in, and it's not like being spoon-fed anymore. And if a kid isn't like fully organized, like doesn't have that ability, right then they start to kind of backslide with like, it's too much pressure. I can't keep it all up here. Can some of us relate, the multitaskers, where we're like, I can't keep it up here. So instead, with a kid-like understanding, they just get angry and they push back. And I can hear him saying to you, I just don't want to, because that just giving up, or that's not a good way to say it, just pretending it doesn't exist feels better than trying to tackle it all. So
Judy says, Seth Perler is an executive functioning coach. He just had a free online conference. He has very useful information. A good book is Smart But Scattered. There's one for kids and one for teenagers. Wow.
What a great, thank you for that, Judy. Smart But Scattered.
Yeah.
That's kind of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like a really smart person, but dude, sometimes I'm like notes. I'm emailing myself all the time. So I can relate to kids who are like, I can't keep it all in one place, and they have seven classes and they have to remember. So Marianne, one thing to add into Judy and to everybody whose kid is maybe having a hard time manage that. Sometimes when our kids are struggling with something, we become very serious about it. Like, this is something we have to be serious about, and we have to, you know, buck up, and we have to, no humor in there. Keep humor in there. Mm-hmm. it's okay, again, loosen the grip on this is important and we are going to focus in on it, but hey, you know, sometimes, you know, it's okay. Like, I think sometimes we put responsibility and seriousness together, where sometimes a better fit is responsibility with a little humor. Mm-hmm. That's, and because then there's a lightness to
it. Levity is, it's just a very, it's a good indicator. Like, you know, there's some things that are, it's hard to find the humor or the levity in it, like illness or
addiction,
something like that,
addiction.
Like that. Yeah. But with school, like, I don't know, it's important, but it's not cancer. You know what I mean? Like, let's hold this kind of lightly. I want Kelsey to just introduce this person that's sitting on her lap.
There's the babe. And that's the new babe. Hi, baby.
And if you guys click on speaker view, you can get a really zoom in on who this is. Who is this?
This is Nadine.
Hi, Nadine.
We saw you when you were just small. Hi.
She's 5 months now.
Hi.
Gosh.
Hi.
Look at those cheeks. Are you kidding me?
Hi, sweetie. Oh my God. Do you want a baby on your lap right now?
Yes,
so bad?
Of course.
I know. Oh, I kind of want that baby on my lap.
That baby is smarter than everybody on this freaking call combined.
That baby's like, my brain is doing what it's supposed to do.
Like, what is everybody worried about?
Nadine's like, dudes, get it together. Just look up at the sky.
Oh my God. Thank you. Does Nadine still have that baby smell that we all love, that like fresh, brand new in the world smell?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Sometimes a bath too.
Sometimes. Well, thank you for introducing Nadine.
Yeah, thanks guys.
We need her spirit, because she's just not, she's like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Just give me something to eat.
That's right. Very simple. Okay, so thank you, Kelsey. Who else wants to share? I don't have anybody next in the queue. So if anybody has something, just unmute yourself or I'll help you unmute yourself. All right, sweetie, this is the part where you just start talking.
Oh, good. What should we talk about?
I don't know.
So somebody types a word or something you're interested in hearing about in the the chat.
Kathy always wanted to do a presentation where people just raise their hand and say a word, and then Kathy would just riff off of that word.
That's my favorite way to teach.
I think I would struggle with that.
Or Todd, you can throw out a word if we don't want to force everybody else to do it.
Xylophone.
Help. Like that's not, like, nobody cares. Do you really want me to talk about xylophone?
I would love to. Siblings recalling family history.
I like it. How about virtual? Oh, I like both of them. Okay. So siblings recalling family history differently is absolutely a real thing. It's not them trying to like mess with us or trying to like say, you know, mom, you're wrong. And I like, we, even if we're born in the same family, even if we're close together in age, their experience of not just how they experienced the home, but how they understood it, you know, intergenerational family history is completely different, because it's about when they heard it, it's about how they heard it in the context of how they heard it, and then how it relates to them, whether it ends up being a positive learning for them or a scary learning for them. Like, one person can hear about addiction in a family and say, wow, I'm so glad I know that and I feel more empowered. And another person can hear about addiction in the family and feel like, oh shit, there's something really heavy that I have to think about. And, you know, and within, like, sometimes my girls will be like, they'll tell a story about how Todd and I said something to them and they remember it completely differently. Because think about how many things are happening. What mood are they in that moment? What are they looking for? What is their greatest concern? And how are all, and plus, what's the weather out? What are they wearing? You know, and then when we say something, it gets filtered through that lens. And so it's less about convincing them, no, you're wrong, I said this or I did this, and more about hearing why they heard it that way. I so often hear the girls say, mom, and you said this and you were so mad at us. I'm like, I wasn't mad. I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't mad. They're like, you were, but there was something about the way I said it or how I said it or what it was being referenced to that made them feel something different than what I intended. So it's less about convincing our kids or, you know, whatever it may be, and more about hearing them. It goes back to the same universal principles. We always want to win. You know, like, no, that's not how it was, or that's not what happened, but it's interesting to hear why they think that.
So I want to go off of these next two, but I also want to invite Kim. I feel like Kim asked that question for a reason. So I might invite her to, or maybe not. I'm looking at her body language. So Karen said the word virtual. So I'll give you my two cents on virtual. I am, you know, I feel weird even saying this, but COVID has allowed me to not have to travel for the last 6 months. Like, I have not spent a night in a hotel basically since beginning of March. And if this was non-COVID times, I would have been in a hotel room probably 40 or 50 nights. So it's the silver lining in this gray cloud of COVID. So that's my two cents on virtual. And Mimi, it's funny, I certainly have a take on Mimi's question, which is, when is a teenager's room too much? Meaning messy, messy to the point where you can't see the floor. So I'm going to come out.
Before you go to that,
sure.
Can I do virtual?
Sure, you do virtual.
Okay, so just like I looked up the definition a while ago and I wanted to read it to you guys because I thought it helped me get a better understanding of virtual. Virtual, by definition, is almost or nearly as described, but not completely or according to strict definition. Hmm. Isn't that great? So basically it means, you know, break apart what you thought you knew and create something new. So even saying that to our kids, like instead of them thinking virtual means a video game or school, virtual is just busting open something we thought we had a structure for and creating something new. Because like our kids right now are virtual learning, you know, remote learning, but they might go back to hybrid. Marianne was just saying her son was learning in maybe in the virtual way, and now he's going to be in a pod. Like, we're evolving. We're like, this didn't work, or this does work, or this kind of works. And I think, again, our uncertainty or our discomfort with unpredictability makes us want to know exactly what's happening. But this virtual model of school, I know virtual goes beyond just school, but allows us to see something differently. Like, who knows what our kids can do with this? So that, go back to the messy.
So Mimi has this question, and it's funny. I actually have a take on this because I used to want my kids to clean up the room all the time. And I think I even said in a few presentations I did for dads is, think about the expansiveness of the universe. Like, the universe is a big place. And your kid, if they're lucky, has their own room. Maybe they don't, but it's a 10 foot by 10 foot by 10 foot space. And out of all the places in the universe, this is the one place that they can kind of control and manage. So my quick two cents on the cleanliness of a room, and this is different for everybody. Like, if there's some people who just, they can't be comfortable with their kid's messy room, maybe this doesn't, but I like ask myself, like, what's the big deal if there's clothes everywhere? Now, where I will draw the line, and I always, for some reason, I always bring up a turkey sandwich. Like, if there's a turkey sandwich getting moldy that's in the corner, then yeah, I would probably draw the line there. But if it's a messy room, what I realize is the less I asked, not that I even cared that much, but all three of our kids kind of run a clean room now. They didn't always, but who cares? Like, who cares? Who cares if their room is messy?
Well, and I think it kind of goes back to the education thing, is about why do we care? Like, sometimes we care because I don't want someone to see it. I'll be embarrassed. And that's kind of like an ego thing, right? Sometimes we don't want it to be messy because we're scared we're not teaching them the right habits. So again, that's kind of ego. Like, I don't feel like a good parent because your room is messy. So we got to realize that's coming from us. And what I found was this place in the middle where it's like, I had a horribly messy room when I was growing up. Ask my Aunt Peg. It was awful. And my parents didn't love that, but they kind of had the viewpoint of, this is your space. Just keep your crap out of the hallway kind of thing. And then through that, I eventually, you know, found my own organization, covered my walls with Tiger Beat posters, and just kind of figured out how I wanted to live, right? What happened with my girls is we were the same way. We were like, you know, that's your space. But sometimes I'd go in and I'd be like, I'm going to clean out your closet today. Do you want to help me? Or do you want to, you know, and sometimes they wouldn't, sometimes they wouldn't, but sometimes I wouldn't do this all the time. This wasn't me like rescuing them. I wasn't like, oh, they can't do it. The intention was, let's get rid of some of this stuff because I'm going to donate it. It kind of came from me. I didn't care about their room. I just want, and so I'd clean their closet and then they'd get super psyched. They'd be like, oh my God, my closet's so clean. And I probably wouldn't clean it out again for a year, but they liked that feeling. Like I helped them get started. You know, when you help someone get organized and start that process, and then it's like a train where then they start to do that and they learned some things.
Yeah. Maybe the solution is, and I don't know how you're, so Mimi, you have a teenager, so it's not like it's a 7-year-old kid. Maybe it's like, hey, how about we do this together? Like, because sometimes it's overwhelming. A messy room is like, where do you start? And I'm sure the teenager can figure out how to clean up the room, but maybe there's an in-between place where you're like, hey, how about we just work on this together for 15 minutes? And, you know, part of that doesn't feel right to
me. It doesn't. Well, the way it's all about intention and how you say it, because if you're like, hey, let's work on this together. I mean, if you said that to me, I'd be annoyed. If Todd was like, let's clean out the podcast office, I'd be like, don't make me do something. But if it's instead, if you want me to help you, I'm happy to take on your closet and you can sit there and listen to music and tell me what you want to come and go. But it's less about let's do it because it'll make me feel better, and more about if you want me to help, I'm here. It's exactly the same with education. Again, as you see, Todd and I get repetitious. There's nothing new on the planet about this. It's just, well, and why do you want me to help you?
And it's a matter of questioning your thoughts. Like I remember another time where my kids were like young, they're 5, and I was making them a sandwich. And I think my kid took off the turkey and just ate the cheese and the bread.
No, that was me.
Well, it was probably Sweetie. But I remember I was with a friend and they're like, well, why are you making your kid eat turkey? I'm like, well, they have to get protein. And she's like, there's a lot of other ways. Maybe your kid's not meant to eat turkey. And maybe your kid is. And I remember she's right. Like, why do I think my kid has to get protein through turkey? Like that was my judgment.
Myopic.
Yeah. And the same way, like, I think my kid, like, what does it mean for your kid to have a messy room? It could be, you know, what type of kid am I raising? Are they going to have a messy room when they're 30 years old? Like really start kind of digging in, like, why does this bother me? Mm-hmm. And really what usually that when those things bother me, it's because I feel out of control.
Right. Like lately I've been going, obviously I've been enjoying cleaning the house more than I used to because we're in it a lot now. So I'm kind of like vacuum. I love vacuuming dust bunnies. It's like my favorite thing. So I've been vacuuming upstairs and I go in the girls' rooms and I vacuum it. And then they're like, thank you so much. It's like, they get so excited because they like have these huge like tumbleweeds like in their room. And then they like it. And they're not like, mom, come back with a vacuum. Sometimes they do it on their own. So sometimes it's the role modeling of I'm doing this just to be helpful. And I know that there's a lot of people be like, no, then my kid will take advantage of me and then they won't do it themselves. We all have different ways of viewing this. Like I'm just giving you out of the box thinking that you don't teach your kid there's many ways to teach your kid. Some of it's role modeling, some of it's helping, some of it's doing it the first time, some of it is laying off and not worrying about it and just having a mix.
Well, and another thing is like, you know, I'm kind of getting deep here, but what part of my life is messy that I'm unwilling to clean up? Because sometimes it's easier for me to like, hey, clean up your room because I don't like that mess.
And your desk is a disaster.
Maybe my financial house is a disaster.
Good point.
Or maybe my emotional health is a disaster. And it's so much easier to point it out to others.
That's really good.
Really?
Because I think sometimes we see our kids' messy room when we're uncomfortable with some of our messiness.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's really good.
So I asked Mimi, who asked this question, if she wanted to get on and talk, and she said yes. So I'm going to ask her to unmute herself. Let me see here. Unmute. There we go. Hi, Mimi.
Hi.
How you doing?
It's hard. This has been going on for a while. I mean, years. But, you know, on my end, I'm like, okay, you know, close the door, whatever. But Fridays, they know they have to clean their room. And they're pretty good with it. But I don't know what happens 2 days later. It's back to square one. We don't understand it. I even went to the point to help her. Mm-hmm. And that was hard for me. Mm. Sorry, that was hard for me because for many years, I just thought that if I go in that room and help her, I'm not, it's not the right thing to do.
Right.
One, I'm doing it for her. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a lot of beliefs that was like, no. So 4 months ago, I said, okay, all this crap that I was thinking, no, that's not how it is. Let me offer my help, because Kathy had mentioned something about, you know, just go in there and say, oh, if you want, I can help you organizing. So that day I was like, you know what, let me do this. So I did. I said, look, if you want Saturday, I can help you. And she's like, no, I don't think you want to do that. And I said, yeah, I don't mind. I really don't mind. I said, Saturday, I have a couple hours and I don't have to rush. You know, we'll go in there. I can help you. But let's start by just taking out clothes that you don't wear, you don't use, you want to donate, and we can move stuff around. Trust me, there's a lot of dust around that you, oh my God. So anyway, she says, okay, but let me go in my room, she said, first. So she went in her room. She lasted about 4 hours. And I was like, wow, she really think I'm going to go in there and judge her. That's all I thought. Because that's how it was. Mm-hmm. So I understood. I was understanding, like, okay, this is what it is. I said, but then if you, it's not, I know your room is bad. Trust and believe. Mm-hmm. I don't think I haven't seen nothing as bad as your room. So it's okay. Let's both of us go in there and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. She was like, okay. And then she says, it's not that bad, she says, mm-hmm. after I went in there. But trust people, please believe me, it was bad. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in there because it's hard for me, for you not to see in my face what I feel.
Right.
So that was hard for me, but I was already, it was funny because I was cleaning around my house in the morning that Saturday. I was preparing myself. I was listening to your talks and I'm like, I got this. So I went in there. I took a few snacks. I opened the windows and I put my air purifier on. And I'm like, okay, I got the bags and everything. Let's start doing piles, donation, cleaning, dirty, whatever. And we were on a roll. Everything was awesome. And, you know, we moved the furniture around. And let me tell you, I don't know, maybe we did, who knows? We had probably a few cats in there we didn't know about. But from those dust, you know. But I was really surprised and also excited. Like, I was like, wow, I'm really calm in the middle of this disaster. That's all I kept thinking. I'm like, oh my God, I'm the bomb. So we came out we took about 7 hours. Mm. And 3 days later, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, oh my God. I said, where is that Mimi that was in here Saturday? I need her to be here with me right now, because it wanted to take me back there again. And all I said to her, I was like, you know what? I tried and I've done so many things for you to be organized. But, and I've given you hints. I mean, not hints. Giving you like, how do you say when you tell someone, do it like this and do it like that. Like,
tips. Yeah.
I'm giving you pointers. And I do my job as offering to you, but I can't do yours. I guess you're not ready. We really wanted you to learn how to be organized and clean. Just because it feels so good. And I feel, honestly, I feel that we're not doing our job. And it makes me feel like shit.
Right.
And this is why I always felt the way I felt. But I've learned that, you know what, this is your space. Because Kathy was saying that room is like their apartment, their space, their own, you know, so that really stood with me. I said, okay. So Kathy was with me the whole weekend. But when I saw that, like, Tuesday, I was like, oh, my God. I realized that day that I was like, you know what? I am doing what I have to do.
Yep.
The rest, I cannot control that. But, you know, for me, it's different. My husband, I've been telling him for 1 year already, take a deep breath, just ignore it. Don't go in her room. That's her space. But yesterday, he was like, you know what? You just don't care. You don't care about what we bought for you in your room. Everything you ask for, you say, oh, mom, I need a desk. I need this. We get it for you. You shouldn't even be studying in there. How can you think? How can you? I said, well, she can, mm-hmm. you know, and it's true. But we're in a point where we're like, okay, how this girl read and go to school and do, not school, but, you know, she's doing e-learning. How does she do that? We don't know how she does it, but she's okay with that. And yep. My husband is not. And that's hard.
You know, Mimi, it's interesting because there's so many things that you said, and so many of them are so great, by the way, you know, like the fact that you went in there and that you helped her and that you guys spent 7 hours and cleaned it out. And then when 3 days later, when it was messy, it doesn't mean that she failed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important is I think when we as parents were like, I helped you clean that and then it's messy again, you failed. We can all relate to the fact that we clean up our desk and a few days later it's messy again. And then what we do is we clean it up again. And what you said at the very beginning of the of talking was that Fridays they clean their room and then it gets messy during the week and then they clean up. That's the real cycle of life. It's not about keeping everything clean 24/7. It's about it gets messy and then we pay attention to it again. And again, this is easy for me to say because but you're already doing this. So I want to reinforce this, not taking it personally. She's not saying to herself, I'm going to mess up my room and it's going to drive my mom crazy. She, a teenage mind is on 100 different things. And that day, her mind was on cleaning her room. She did it. It was a good experience for the two of you, for your relationship. It helped you get all the cats out of there, like you said. Like, I love that. You know, like helped her get organized. And then just because it got messy again doesn't mean you guys failed or that she failed. And saying to her, remember, like you can pull from that now. Remember last Saturday when we cleaned it up? We don't have to get back to that high level of cleanliness, but take, you know, every Wednesday, maybe pick some things up. And like, instead of encourage through guilt or shame, you know, which is we're not going to buy things for you or you don't care, which isn't true for her. She does care. But cleaning her room the way an adult woman or man would clean is not high on her priority list.
So two things.
Oh, we're beyond time. It's 1:05.
I know, we started late though.
Okay.
Two things. One is, yeah, the idea of you guys cleaning the room and then it just staying that way is, in my judgment, unrealistic. And the example I always give is, you know, my daughters with waffles, like it took them, I reminded them, scrape your waffles and put it in the sink when you're done. And I said to say that every day for about 8 years until they finally figured it out. And then it reminds me of the joke is, do you know the difference between a teenager and a toddler? And this person says, no, what is it? Nothing. So like teenagers are kind of toddlers in that they're just in a different world. And it's just not an easy time to be a human being who's whatever, a teenager right now. So,
and sometimes the lack of cleanliness in their room is a reflection of how they're feeling that day. And I don't mean you need to solve it. I don't mean that you need to be like, oh no, her room's messy. It means she's anxious. I'm not correlating those things. What I'm saying is sometimes that's just how they feel. Haven't you guys ever just like been like, even in your own house, like I'm going to lay on the couch and there's laundry all around me and I'm not doing it today. And there's like, yeah, Kelsey's like, yeah. So like we can relate to our kids. We look at them through a lens of what they're doing reflects on me or I'm doing something wrong. And so they're stressing me out. So I'm going to get them to do it the right way. So then I don't have to worry about it. Instead of relating to them as human beings, as like your daughter was so grateful, even if she wasn't overly, you know, enthusiastic about it, about you helping her clean her room. I guarantee you she felt a sense of, you know, cleanliness and organization that she probably hasn't felt in a long time. But pretending that then her whole brain development changed and now she knows how to organize, that's not the case. She still needs support. I mean, I didn't really learn how to clean and live on my own until I literally lived on my own. Out of college, I lived with three girlfriends and they took care of this and they took care of that. And I barely dumped the garbage out.
I found a dead mouse in their sink.
Yes. In my sorority suite, there was a dead mouse in the sink. Just to give you an idea of how there was a time that I lived, like I was going out, you know, what was important to me going out. So I'm saying that not because you want to find dead mice, but because sometimes we think because we help them clean, now they get it. And we're learning, we're evolving humans, and you helping her clean the room did help her,
yeah.
But it didn't change everything. And it doesn't mean you're failing, nor does it mean she's failing. It means it's going to be one step at a time. And her room is just one piece of a big puzzle.
And there's a part of our ego that wants to hear the words from our kids. Oh, mom, thank you so much for helping me. I feel so much more like that. It reminds me of Rachel Simmons from the conference this year. She's like, we all want to hear those comments from our kids.
It's very rare.
They don't happen. They just want to take a lot. That's what they're here for. We're the parents, they're the kids.
And we have to remember our role. Like my girls have a bunch. Hey, I'm just about to talk about you. Cameron just came in. So Cameron has all these pictures in her room. Like her whole room is decorated with pictures. I think I'm in one of them. Okay. And I, here's the, I'm not in any of them. I'm not. Okay. So perfect. I'm not in any of them. Cameron, you love me, right?
I love you.
Thank you. I love Cameron. She loves me, but I'm her mother.
Yeah.
She's not like thinking I'm going to put up a bunch of pictures of my mom. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a picture of Cameron and I. Cameron, are you listening to this? And you can put it on your desk, take it to college.
Yeah.
Blow it up to an 8x10. My point is she's not, I'm a static in her life. She needs me to be a grounding figure, not the one she's having to say thank you to all the time. Does that, like, I know it's different than a picture, but sometimes we're like, I wish my kid was like this or this with me. That's not the role we play in their lives. We are the people that help them ground and, you know, feel supported. So then they can have friends that they could put up in pictures all over their room. But there are pictures of you.
Yeah, I think I'm in there. So you know who wins, this guy.
Because he's taking her on these trips. So they have like pictures and mountains.
Or maybe there's,
I'm home.
Maybe there's something deeper.
She needs a picture of me putting her laundry away.
So I mean, she did say thank you. She hugged me. And I was like.
That's big, Mimi.
That's big. Kelsey said, love this about the cleaning. I keep thinking that the day when you clean for 7 hours shows the daughter that it's possible and that will stay with her somewhere deep inside and that you believe in her, that she can do it. And she'll have that with her as she grows and matures and learns how to clean on her own. It's like she'll have an imprint of the possibility of how organized, clean her room can be.
I love that.
Yeah.
The thing is that like it was before, I remember I used to get triggered when, because right. She would come and tell me, oh, you and your OCD, the problems that you have. So that was a real, I didn't know until like a year later. I was like, damn, that word. Hmm. So now she tries, she always says it. She was like, you know, I'm stuck between you and Papi. Papi's a cleaning freak. Everything wants to be perfect. And then you're an OCD. So for you guys, my room is a mess, but it's not that bad. I'm like, but it is bad, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a place between your needs and also the reality of not having a bunch of turkey sandwiches in your room. Like there's this, and there's that gray in between. And she, it's less about deciding, you know, like everything, Mimi, it's less about saying you're right and she's wrong or she's right and you're wrong and realizing there's a space in the middle. Is that some of it is your expectation of clean is different than hers and some of it is she's still learning. So,
Joe said, thanks for sharing. Sounds like you're helping her build a sense of agency. So, all right. I just muted Mimi. Mimi, hopefully that helps a little bit. We're sending you love and healing and all that good stuff. Sorry we went over, but that's okay. We'll probably do this again in 2 weeks. Not sure when or where, but you guys will get an email from me tomorrow morning. And I guess that's it.
Yeah. And if you guys like, remember we have the Facebook page. So if you ever have questions, people are really great on it. People post stuff all the time and resources, memes, questions that I try and get to at least, I try and get to that page once every day or once every 2 days. So if you have a question, I'm happy to answer it there, as is Todd. And you're welcome, Mimi. And just know that we're, even when we don't have a Zen talk and if something comes up, that's a page to, you can go to Facebook or email us. Okay. So it's not just this time. It's all the time. If you need us,
that's it. Guys, keep trucking.
Take care, everybody.
Adios. Be good.